It is time for the Pittsburgh Steelers to name a starting quarterback, and I believe that starting quarterback should be Russell Wilson. Welcome to Maggie and Perloff Show. Perloff here in New York, Maggie at the home studio. Maggie, Russ looked very good in limited action over the weekend. Just the fact that he can stand in the pocket and make the receivers look good is the reason that I am going with Russell Wilson. I understand Justin Fields looked great too, but Mike Tomlin is not named a starter yet. It's going way too close to the season for me. You know Tomlin wants to go Russ, and I actually think it's a smart call. So what is he waiting for?
This is like the drama that won't end. Like, why is this being dragged out?
And I don't know.
The longer it goes, I thought the more this benefited Justin Fields. Mm-hmm. Now, whether this was ever a real quarterback competition to begin with, we could talk about forever. But the longer this goes, like, if you are Russell Wilson, the future Hall of Famer, you should have had this wrapped up already. And I know his calf issue kind of opened the door up for Fields. But here's the reason why I disagree with you, and I think it's got to be Fields. I think this final preseason game kind of encapsulated it all, which is, Fields, you're going to get some bad, right? Another botched quarterback center exchange. Those are annoying, and I get it. But he's got so many more tools than Russell Wilson does at this point. Like, you're saying that Russell Wilson, yeah, he throws a great deep ball to George Pickens on the sideline.
Yeah.
What about the middle of the field? You know, Justin Fields, I thought, had a beautiful throw in the middle of the field, and he can scramble. And I think he's got more tools than Russ at this point. And the fact that Russ, even in the limited time, hasn't totally run away from this competition. When he asked for more reps in the second preseason game and got them and still didn't look awesome,
yes, he started off real slow, but then he had some moments in that second game. There were a couple, and the throw over the middle. I just think that Russ, if you give Russ any time, I mean, you forget that dude is a Hall of Fame level quarterback. He throws a beautiful deep ball.
Totally.
Where Fields also can throw a pretty good deep ball, but I just feel like, I think it's a philosophy difference. I think you want your quarterback to be a point guard in Pittsburgh. I think Justin Fields is a do-it-all shooting guard. He's more of an Anthony Edwards with Minnesota. I think you got to get the ball to Pickens. You got to have a threat for a deep pass. Because I saw Fields had all those tools in Chicago, and the offense was really limited, Maggie.
Yeah, you're right. But is this an offense that's limited by design? Because besides Pickens and maybe some Van Jefferson, honestly, Cordero Patterson should be signed on the first day by every team. Like this dude.
He looked great. But again, against backups.
Again, yeah. And I'm sure that Russ probably almost wished that he didn't score that touchdown so that he could have a couple more throws, but maybe to show off a little bit more. But, you know, I don't know what this offense wants to be. And I wonder if they know yet. You know, do they, like, is this something that's going to maybe evolve a little bit as the season goes on? Or as maybe George Pickens probably gets more and more disgruntled if he's not getting the ball and they might have to end up forcing it to him a little bit more? Don't you think there's something weird about this taking this long? Like, this can't be gamesmanship, because you're going to have, your opponent is going to have a whole week and a half to prepare for you anyway. So it's not like this is a college game where you can go right up to the you know, kickoff and say, this is who we're starting, this is who we aren't, right?
Well, I don't know. I'm not so worried. You still have 2 weeks, so it's not like it's
anyone
be
can
a,
scout for
a
them.
Sudden decision. Yeah, I think it was the injury that Russ suffered, and I think realistically we're debating this, and I'm taking Russ's side, but it is so close. There are pluses and minuses with both guys. The fact that Russell Wilson doesn't look like he has his old mobility is a problem. The fact that Justin Fields has looked pretty good is an issue for Russ. I think it's a legit battle, but I just think that you say Justin Fields has all these tools, right? But don't you think it's going to be frustrating if you're a skill player on Pittsburgh and Justin Fields is not letting the ball get out of his hand? You saw last night he was running a lot. Like, he just definitely, he doesn't feel like he consistently wants to let it rip still. I think it's a mental thing. I think he's just got to, if I was his coach, I'd be like, don't run this entire preseason game. I just want to see you throw. Let it rip, Justin.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I think that, is it going to be frustrating? Listen, if he's running for third downs and he's converting on third and six or third and seven and the chains move, then I think everyone's going to have to be a little quieter about it. But would you rather have that, or would you rather have Russ throwing the ball away because he's trying to protect his stats too, you know?
Yeah.
And so you're kind of like, you know, you're again, this is the classic. You got two quarterbacks. You don't have one, I think, for Pittsburgh. Maybe you can band-aid this together because Mike Tomlin's done more with less in the past. But, you know, this is just, it's not ideal either way. Like, I come away from that third preseason game, I'm like, ugh, you know, like, ugh. I don't really feel super confident in either guy. And here's another part. I thought that Russ looks like he is going to be in danger out there. You know, like, we're talking about the Steelers' offensive line not being great, and now you're going to play the likes of the Browns and the Ravens and the Cincinnati Bengals with Lou Anarumo. You're going to have some defenses that are going to get after you.
Wait, you came away from preseason game three, neither guy missed a pass. They both zipped down the field like a knife through butter. It was
Saw Russ basically do a couple passes, and then Cordo Patterson just took one of the
I don't know what in week three would have made you nervous. If anything, you're a Steelers fan, like, whoa. The only reason I'm not excited about it is because I saw Kenny Pickett just shredding somebody in the preseason a couple years ago, and he stunk. Or actually, it was last year. I picked the Steelers to go to the Super Bowl because Kenny Pickett was on fire in the preseason. Russ looked great in the this last preseason game. If you got what you got, a quarterback against Detroit on Saturday, then Pittsburgh's winning the Super Bowl. But fortunately for Pittsburgh, they were facing the second and third team Detroit Lions defense. I just think that let me ask you this question. Who has a higher upside, Russell Wilson or Justin Fields?
It's a great question. I think the instinct is say Fields, but that's like developing him in a couple years would obviously have the upside. And this is why I've always advocated to start Fields and then bring Russ in later in the season if you need him as the closer. Mm-hmm. Because I get it. Like, Fields to me, I think, does more and can win you games, but maybe you want Russ for a playoff run, or if you're in the hunt, or if you need a couple big wins on the road or something like that, maybe you do trust him more. I don't want to throw him out there in the beginning of the season. I need him out there at the end for the gauntlet of the season and for that 3 games in 10 days that the Steelers are one of those four unfortunate teams that are going to be playing like a Sunday, a Wednesday, and then a Sunday again, or whatever that wonky schedule is around Christmas. We forget how long the season is, and to me, I'd rather have healthy Russ at the end of the season, maybe as the stabilizing, steady force who's not going to turn the ball over. And let's put Justin Fields out there and see if we can win some games with his legs and with some creative play calling. I know that's going to be tough with Arthur Smith, but maybe you win some games early with his legs. Kind of the same thing you think about with Anthony Richardson or someone like that. Hey, maybe you win a couple games early because he's more dynamic.
Well, I think Russell Wilson is more like Ryan Tannehill, Arthur Smith's former quarterback in Tennessee.
Signed, by the way. Still on the couch, right?
So, here's the other thing about Russ. Like, Russ was elite. You say, who's got the higher ceiling? Russ was about the third best quarterback in the NFL 3 years ago. It wasn't that long ago. Before he hurt his finger that year, like, he was as good as anybody in the league. I mean, Russ can really... I think Russ is one of the most overrated historically guys. Like, he's going in first ballot. His numbers are great. Yeah. He didn't throw a ton in Seattle. And I know he won that Super Bowl because of the defense. But he throws a beautiful downfield pass. Now, listen, his mobility, which he only used in the fourth quarter, was the key, the secret sauce for them, and he doesn't have it anymore. Totally. But listen, I mean, he's had over 100 passer rating 9 times in his career, including 2 years ago. I'm telling you, like, last year, by the way, Russ was statistically very, very solid in Denver, and they showed they could win games with him. Justin Fields was, I would say, similar vein, kind of mediocre, and they could win some games. The point is, Mike Tomlin's not going to want to score a lot of points. Like, what's the style here? I would be frustrated if I'm a Steelers fan. You get the sense he wants to win 17-13. That's why you hire Arthur Smith, who is never going to light up the scoreboard. So I'm not sure either quarterback makes that big a difference. But one thing I'll tell you right now, George Pickens has to want Russ. Because Justin Fields doesn't like throwing that outside pass consistently. He could throw it. He's got a great arm, but I feel like Justin Fields is not going to want to feed the receivers.
Yeah, it's interesting. Can I bring up, so last year, you're right, Russ was able to win some games, and so was Justin Fields. Fields got hurt for a little bit, and then Russ got benched at the end of the year, but for contract purposes, not because of play purposes. There was one team that was a legitimate debate about whether or not to keep Fields over the number one overall pick in Caleb Williams. That was a debate that happened. You and I were there for that debate. It was ridiculous.
We had that debate.
We had it. It was ridiculous.
Is there any sense that anyone in Chicago had that debate for more than 3 seconds? I watched Hard Knocks, Maggie. It doesn't look like they ever thought any other direction but Caleb Williams.
Perloff, I swear, I was asked at the Super Bowl by Chicago radio, would you rather Fields or Caleb Williams? They were going around asking, and we should unearth that video because a lot of smart people in the media said stick with Justin Fields. But anyway.
I want to see Ryan Poles. I want to see video of Ryan Poles saying that. I mean, honestly, I don't know that that was ever really a debate.
I think it was definitely a media debate. And then the other part was, and then Denver, who couldn't get Russ out of there quick enough. So, you know, I think that there's a part of that is, you know, maybe that matters a little bit. Maybe it doesn't matter at all. But there was one guy who showed promise and another guy who, if you stop most NFL fans casually on the street and said, how do you feel about Russell Wilson? They'd say he's washed.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think that's necessarily all fair, but I'm just telling you where the trend is sort of going
there. Maggie, Justin Fields was traded for a 6-round pick that could move up to 4th. That's all you need to know.
The league does not view him the way that I think fans do. Because of Ohio State, maybe, because of all that stuff.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, listen, he was famous in high school. He was star of Netflix quarterback.
Yeah.
He was number one recruit over Trevor Lawrence in many people's view. Yeah. So he's been famous for a while. And also, we talked about Trey Lance earlier in the show. You just look at the tools with Justin Fields, the way he handles himself. It just feels like he needs the right coach to unlock something, I think. And I'm a little skeptical that that's going to happen in Pittsburgh. All right, Maggie,
hold on. Can I bring up something quickly? So I was listening to EJ was filling in for us on Friday, and I think it was Andy in Pittsburgh who called in and said, this is going to be Russ's year. Andy's a very unique caller because he has a very thick West Virginia accent, mm-hmm. but is a massive Seahawks fan. So there you go. But lives in Pittsburgh. And he said, this is going to be Russ's year. They're going 13-4, whatever. He was very, very high. And EJ said, why? Why do you think they're getting this is going to be the Russ's year? And Andy said, because his back's against the wall. And EJ, I thought you had a great response, which is, wasn't his back against the wall in Denver? Wasn't his back against the wall for the first year in Denver, although Nathaniel Hackett was an outright disaster. And then last year, where he played fine, but Perloff, he was not back to Hall of Fame Russell Wilson. And I think that maybe there's this idea of holding out for that Hall of Famer is going to walk through the door again. And I think it's too much to say that Russell Wilson is washed. I think that's not fair. But that old Russell Wilson from 2014, he's not walking through the door either. So,
well, by the way, 2020, he was amazing. That was probably his best year as a pro. But regardless, who thinks the Hall of Fame Russell Wilson's walking the door? This is the Steelers. They would take one third of it. EJ, I'm not sure if you disagree. Like, I'm not hearing anyone who thinks that Russell Wilson, they're paying him $1 million. I've never heard any experts say they expect Russell Wilson to get those MVP votes all of a sudden. Unless, EJ, was that perception out there?
Well, I don't know if the perception was that he's going to be the Hall of Fame guy, but I think like Andy in Pittsburgh was saying that there's this idea that this player who we know at one point was great will be able to turn back the clock a little bit and play at a star level. And again, like Maggie said, like my point was, I just feel like we just haven't seen that guy in so long. His last year in Seattle, the numbers were good, but the team was bad. I think he padded his stats a lot at the end of that season. And then 2 years in Denver, where I just feel like his back was against the wall. He's on a new team. He's got a new coach. He's got to show that he's the leader of a new organization. And it just didn't work out. Some of it may have been his fault. Some of it may have been the organization. Regardless, I just don't know that you're going to be 3 years removed from Russ being a star player. You're going to see that again. Maybe they don't need that guy, but I don't think the Steelers are that talented. I think they have a good defense and really not much else. And George Pickens, who I think is more of an idea than a great player. We look at him, I think he's a talent, but he's a great receiver yet? That I don't know. I've not seen that. I've seen inconsistency.
Well, he's never played with a good quarterback.
He's never played with a great quarterback, but I just think that, you know, like I said on the show on Friday, like I feel like with Garrett Wilson, I've seen a great receiver in there, mm-hmm. despite the fact that he's played with a terrible quarterback. Yeah. With Pickens, I've seen a great talent who has shown flashes, but I've not seen a great receiver. I've seen a guy who can be, again, a little moody, sometimes make big plays. Sometimes he wants to kind of be by himself. So I just think there are so many question marks with the Steelers that when I look at those other teams in the division, I don't see him. That's why it's hard for me to visualize a Russell Wilson resurgence in Pittsburgh.
Wait, but he doesn't get any targets. Garrett Wilson got targets. Like George Pickens, you're not seeing him because he's getting one target a game. So it's something that's going on with the coaching there. I just generally disagree. I have not seen anybody say that they expect Russell Wilson to be a star like he was in Pittsburgh. That's just not the expectation of anyone except Andy. He's on an island as far as I know. I like the take, but if you look at like all pro predictions. If someone put Russell Wilson, people would think they were drunk, right, Maggie?
Yeah, you're probably right about that.
Yeah. All right, wait, give us one item from the closet, Maggie. I need to see something here. Explain something here. You're in the closet in New Jersey this week, and
it sounds like I'm trying to say something. I have no big announcements today. Still very happily married. Not that kind of closet. I'm literally in my closet.
Got it.
And no one should have to be in the closet. But I'm literally in my closet with my clothes because I tested positive for COVID over the weekend, and I can't do the show from the office that my husband and I share because I share a wall with my 5-year-old son, and I don't want to wake him up with all my Justin Fields takes and all that stuff. I want him to sleep until he has to go to camp today. So I'm literally in my closet. You can watch on youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet, twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork. I tried to hook it up at the last minute. So janky. Just the set deck here is set decoration. Not ideal. But I'm in the closet. So I've been looking around and I've been finding things. And I came across this, which I believe may have been from my bachelorette party.
Oh, wow.
Circa 2000 and when did I get married? I got married in 2014, 2013. I kept the crown. It's got a little bit of a Wonder Woman vibe.
Yeah.
I'm not a big comic book person, but EJ, I think I'm getting Wonder Woman, drunk Wonder Woman, I think is what I'm getting here. I don't know where the sash is and any of the other paraphernalia, but I did keep the crown.
It says, "Let's party."
Yeah.
There. It looks like it costs about $3.
$0.03.
Yeah, it's actually for a bachelorette party. I've seen more obscene outfits. Did you do any of the R-rated things?
That stuff got thrown away. That never came back from Puerto Rico. That got left in the ocean.
Your party, I'm sorry, was in Puerto Rico.
So
wow.
When my maid of honor, my best friend in the whole world, was until very recently a very high level executive at a little company you may know called Marriott. So it was very fun to travel. Now she's moved on to Amazon and other things. But yes, when she was a high-level executive at Marriott, we got to have some very fun vacations.
Really? How are benefits? What? I don't care that she moved on to Amazon. Why are you giving?
That's how I got to Puerto Rico.
I want to hear about party stories. I want to hear about strippers and things. Don't tell me about the corporate history of your friend.
Listen, we were upgraded.
What are you doing?
Lots of points.
Yeah. All right. Well, you look great. Are you going to wear it the rest of the show?
No. But I'm thinking maybe we incorporate this. You know, we have a lot of props in our set already. We have a poop hat. We have a loser hat. We've got wigs. We've got T-shirts. We got so many things. Maybe I bring the crown in.
Yeah. I mean, apparently most of the good stuff is in your closet in New Jersey, including that sick Army Navy helmet that I have no idea why it's at your house and not sitting right here on the set.
Yeah.
What the heck, Meg? What else are you hiding back there?
Like lots of
all
stuff.
Right. Well, we have some time to go over this. Meanwhile, a little more preseason football. But this, what happened over the weekend, probably not my worst nightmare. My worst nightmare is getting eaten by a shark.
Yeah.
This is definitely top 15 of the worst nightmares I have. Maggie, I think you're right there with me, and it happened to an actual football team. We'll get into that next, right here at Maggie and Perloff Show. All right, the battle lines are drawn. I think the Steelers should start Russell Wilson. Maggie says Justin Fields. You can weigh in, 855-212-4227. Maggie is in the home studio in New Jersey. You can see it on the Infinity Sports Radio Network YouTube page. She looks good. Our guys in here are tweaking the lights. We look a little bit better, but we have to solve this Steelers quarterback problem. And when we have a really difficult football dilemma, we turn to Big Dave, who I think is going to have some wisdom here. Big Dave, help us out. What should the Steelers do?
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
How are you guys doing?
We've been a little better.
Sorry, Dave. Well, I had to mute myself. You know, little bit of COVID. It has done a lot of damage. But COVID for the third time around, so I'm in the home studio for the next couple of days. How you doing?
Oh, wow. I'm so sorry. Well, listen, get well soon.
Thank you.
Doing good. Listen, Max, let me start with you, not to kick you while you're down. So let me get this straight.
Yeah.
Your philosophy is maybe they should play Justin Fields earlier. Make him win some games early in the season. You run with the football and all that. And then you've got Russ, you know, things go well, you got him at the latter half of the season. So what do you advocate? They bring him in like a reliever out of the bullpen the last quarter of the season?
Dave, only if they need him. That was it. It's a great idea because I think everyone, you know, basically needs two quarterbacks to get through a season, but only if they need him, you know. And that's why I would put Russ, you know, you're not paying either guy basically, so it's not like one's more expensive than the other. So here's your early games for Pittsburgh. You're at Atlanta, you're at Denver, you play the Chargers, at the Colts, your Dallas Cowboys, Dave, in prime time, at Vegas.
Not my Cowboys.
I know. I'm sorry. You're still boycotting. But I think that there's maybe some games with a little run game and a little moxie you might be able to win. Now, later on in the season, I was telling you guys about this crazy schedule. So December 8th against Cleveland. First of all, you're December 1st at Cincinnati. Then December 8th, Cleveland. Then you're at the Eagles. Then at Baltimore. Then Kansas City. Then Cincinnati. Listen, that is brutal to end the year. I might need Russell Wilson, a healthy Russell Wilson, a ticked off Russell Wilson, a I've got everything to prove at the end of the year Russell Wilson. And I like that sort of, yeah, maybe like a relief pitcher, like an awesome, get Mariano Rivera come in and close him down.
Maggie, I think you have it exactly opposite wrong, because you should, Russell Wilson needs confidence. Like, he's not Joe Flacco. He's not going to come in and save the season. You need to let Russell Wilson know from day one that he's the man. Otherwise, you're not going to get a confident Russell Wilson.
Then I can't have a fragile guy like that. Someone who's going to walk into the Hall of Fame. I need Russ to be a little bit thicker skin than that and kind of understand what's the big picture. We're trying to save your legacy here. What's going to matter more, that you beat the Indianapolis Colts in the first month of the season, or that you're there for us? Cincinnati, Baltimore, Cleveland, Kansas City. Those are the games people are going to be watching way closely.
That's the games where the great pass rush is. That's where you have Justin Fields run around like a maniac because your offensive line isn't going to be able to block guys. Right, Dave? Help me out.
Can I make this call about me for a minute? I mean, Jesus Christ. Okay. Well, here's the thing. Here's 2 points. To start with, the fact that anyone would even, I mean, everyone knows that using this one, whichever one is the first 3-4s, and then we'll bring the other one in. Everybody knows what a great idea that is. And to get down to the bare bone question about, you know, which is the best option for the Steelers, I got the answer for you. It's neither one. Because Russell Wilson is washed up. He's been washed up for a while. He's lost his mobility, which is an issue. And Justin Fields came pre-washed up. He's never been an elite NFL quarterback, and he never will. You want to know why? It's not because he doesn't look the part. It's not because he doesn't have a cannon for an arm. It's not because he's not mobile. It's because he can't process defenses. His tendency is to hold the ball too long or either pull it down and run. It's been that way forever. I don't know why people continue to prop him up. I really don't. He has never been a consistently elite quarterback, and he never will. This all translates to the Steelers be screwed. You guys have a good day.
Yeah, be screwed. They're going to go 9-8 instead of 10-7, and that'll be a disastrous season. Yeah, I mean, that's why Justin Fields was traded for a 6-round pick. It's not like everyone's like, oh, Justin Fields is the truth. Nobody really wanted him. That's the best job he could get is Pittsburgh. So I don't know what people's expectations are. Like, there's nothing. The market said exactly what Russell Wilson and Justin Fields were. The Broncos cut him. So it's not like those guys are coming in with high expectations. How do you disappoint when you just got cut by the Broncos?
Well, because I think both guys almost seem like they were specifically targeting Pittsburgh to come and save their legacies, like for different ways, or save their careers maybe in different ways. So Dave's right. You don't have great options here. I said it before. This is a two quarterbacks. So you don't have one. Not as bad maybe as Las Vegas with the Raiders and Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell, but like not that far off. You don't have two great quarterbacks to choose from, but there's so much pressure on this for a couple reasons. Mike Tomlin's gaudy record of never having a losing season. The fact that they have the pedigree of being the Steelers. They do have a good defense. And the fact that Russ is trying to save his legacy and Justin Fields is trying to save his career. And they're two very famous guys. So, you know, even though we might be off and the expectation should be lower and all that, it's not like there's no stakes here. There are definitely stakes.
I don't know. I mean, for the team and the organization, the franchise, I think there are no stakes. You're paying Russell Wilson $1 million. He can be cut tomorrow. You're not invested in Justin Fields either. So you have the luxury. Like, pressure is when you draft a guy high and you burned a top 10 pick and you have to decide whether to pay him. Like, they're fine. They're free and easy if this doesn't work out. You're right. You have Mike Tomlin's gaudy winning either being 500 or above record, but nobody's picking the Steelers to go to the Super Bowl. Not a single soul anywhere is picking the Steelers to go to the Super Bowl. So this is probably the least pressure he's had on him in a long time. Like, what are the actual stakes? Besides, I understand from Russell and Justin Fields, absolutely high stakes. But as a Steelers franchise, this isn't Big Ben, Antonio Brown, and Le'Veon Bell. Like, what are we talking about here?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a lot of people who are looking at Mike Tomlin, and it's not just the record, but it's also when are you going to win a playoff game? And maybe this is not the year to be talking about that, but every year you don't win a playoff game when you're the Steelers, it just compounds and compounds. So I think that there are some organizations that are like under pressure no matter what. Like, even years where no one's picking the Cowboys to win a Super Bowl, mm-hmm. they're still under pressure just because you have the appeal, the fan base. Again, like, it will always mean more to a lot of people mm-hmm. with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I tell you what's going to happen. Mike Tomlin's going to find a way to squeak out 9 wins with this, the worst quarterback, the cheapest quarterback situation in the league, and where everyone's going to be like, Tomlin did it again.
Did it again.
All right, Andrew Bogus did it again. Let's do some headlines here, Mr. Bogus.
Oh, hey, guys. Drake May was the best Patriots QB in their preseason finale in Washington last night, partly because Jacoby Brissett did not return after the first series after a crunching hit left him with right shoulder discomfort. Gerard Mayo said postgame, Brissett would have stayed in the game if it matters. The head coach went on to say nothing definite about his QB depth chart.
As I always say, I reserve the right to change my mind. In saying that, look, we got to watch the film. We get in at 3 o'clock in the morning, so... No, we'll see.
Mayo has another media session at 9:30 Eastern this morning. May went 13 for 20, 126 yards and a score behind an O-line that committed 8 first-half penalties. Washington won the game 20-10 while resting 34 regulars. Yesterday afternoon, Will Levis produced 10 points in his 2 series in a 30-27 Titans win in New Orleans. Head coach Brian Callahan liked what he saw as much as possible.
I hesitate to make any sort of prediction on preseason operation, but for us, just to see guys go out and play well, execute well, and then go score points, that's the job. I mean, that's part of what playing offense in the NFL is, and so to see that is a positive first step.
Levis.
Yeah, by the way, all in on Will Levis. Go ahead.
7 of 8, 118 yards. Malik Willis threw a pair of fourth quarter TDs to get the win. Remind me why we were not in on Levis recently. Where'd that come from? Somebody was angry with him.
Mayonnaise cologne.
Oh, right.
But I saw a little Kenny Pickett preseason yesterday. I'm like, going against a pass rush that's not blitzing and second teamers, Will Levis looks like a combination of John Elway and Tom Brady. I mean, dude, that guy could throw against a third team in the preseason like no one, Maggie.
Can I just remind everyone on the show, the audience, anyone within earshot of my voice, that Prof was also very much all in on Malik Willis.
All in.
Oh, until I saw. Well, I was all in on Malik Willis till he played. I was a huge. Yeah, and by the way, Malik Willis, wait, did he do something bad last night? I watched a little bit.
No, he played well in the fourth quarter against lesser opposition than your boy Will Levis faced.
Yeah, I mean, Malik Willis
tackling dummies. Basically, parking cones were out there. But
there was a moment where Will Levis was dropping back and throwing to Calvin Ridley. I'm like, oh, my God, the amount of talent in Tennessee. They're the most bizarre team. Many people have criticized them of like, wow, they've built a sort of this all-star roster, but they have no cohesion. Like, who are these guys? Like, why are Calvin Ridley, DeAndre Hopkins, and, Tony Pollard all on the same team? There's a lot of individual talent. I think some of the experts are saying, well, how do we know they all come together? But if Levis is good, like, all of a sudden they're a sneaky playoff contender, Maggie.
I think the AFC South is weird. You're right, maybe, but they have a new head coach. Don't know much about him.
He seems awesome.
Okay.
He seems awesome, but I had to remember his name this morning when I typed it into the script. I was like, okay, this one's going to be a battle for me.
It's Bill Callahan's son.
Yeah, no, I think I got all the other coaches down, but Brian Callahan still surprises me when I see it in print.
Brian Callahan feels like a combination of Kevin Stefanski and Shane Steichen. Like, he's basically the same guy as them.
Do you realize that we're all so robbed of Callahan's son, like, not looking like Tommy Boy?
I know.
Imagine, Brian Callahan's one of those, like, in-shape coaches, but if we had someone who looked a little like Chris Farley from Tommy Boy, wouldn't that just be so much better?
He's letting us down. You're right.
It'd be great. Tommy Boy. But
let yourself go.
Honestly, tell me how many receiving corps are better than Calvin Ridley, DeAndre Hopkins, and Tyler Boyd? With Treylon Burks, a first-round pick, like, sort of mixing in.
Yeah.
Then you got Tyjae Spears as your second running back behind Pollard. There is definitely
Derrick Henry thing was getting old. You always go, what are their Super Bowl odds? What are their odds?
I'm not talking Super Bowl. I'm talking, they're in the AFC South.
What are their playoffs odds? I'm going to pull them up.
They're not great, but aren't they at a 6.5 win total? I mean, they go over that by 1.5 games. They're going to the playoffs. I mean, the Texans are good now. But generally, though, this is a division where you never see it coming.
That's true.
Pull up those odds. I'm just saying, like, they have two first-round picks on the left side of their offensive line, J.C. Latham and Peter Skoronski. They had the worst O-line in football last year, but
they paid for a center, right?
Yeah, they got Lloyd Cushenberry. Right. Like, they've had all this cap, so they got L'Jarius Sneed. Remember that guy? I mean, they have all these guys. Will Levis did look pretty impressive yesterday. On paper, that guy looks like he should be a good quarterback.
Tennessee Titans to make the playoffs, plus +425 for yes, minus -650 for no.
Plus +425, okay. What's their win total, 6.5?
Stand by, guys. Talk amongst yourselves, and I'll be back.
Plus +425 is not a bad.
Yeah, but the thing about it, like, no one knows, is Will Levis good? Honestly, Maggie and I used to have a joke that Derek Carr was the Bermuda Triangle of quarterback evaluation.
Yeah.
There is nobody who has any idea what Will Levis is going to do. Nobody, because he's an oddball. He certainly has the arm. He certainly can run. But no one has any. I mean, there's not a lot to go on. I don't think we know.
6.5 is the win total. Yeah. Sorry, Bogus. Juice to the under, minus -135.
Yeah, I think taking over 6.5 is, you can win money there. But the playoff thing gets complicated because obviously the Texans are the best team in that division.
Yeah.
A lot of people like the Colts this year.
There's some people like the Jags too.
And then you've got in the North, we've got three good teams the Steelers.
Now the AFC is just insane. It's bananas.
Right. So they might be good. But the numbers don't favor them getting in.
No, it's going to be hard. But I think if Will Levis has a promising season, then you're feeling good as a Titans fan. Maggie actually has 14 playoff teams in the AFC, which I can't wait to see her figure out. It is it's going to be some hard math. By the way, the Titans, according to Warren Sharp, who does an advanced strength of schedule, come in, hold please, Vamp, please, with...
You can do it.
Say something here.
Will Levis smells delicious.
Help me out here.
You can't buy anymore. It's officially sold out. Can't buy anymore.
I'm looking at the Warren Sharp, and he didn't put Tennessee in here. What the?
I think he did.
No, I think he must have the Vikings twice. I do not understand. Oh, I had to get down. They have the 27th ranked. They have one of the hardest schedules in the league.
So you're out now.
Whoops.
I'm out. All in one segment.
How did that happen?
You talked yourself in and out of the Titans.
That was amazing. Did that just happen? I know I have COVID, but like, did that just happen? Or
was
did I dream it up?
Yeah, but by the way, you look at it. So they're at 6.5. All the other AFC South teams, except for the Texans, are right at the same. You know, they're like 8.5 for both the Jags and the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, watch out. I'm picking the Titans to be the surprise team of the league. And by that, I mean that they're going to go 8-9, and everyone's going to be like, I'm going to buy me some mayonnaise cologne.
you better guys stop mixing up some more.
You guys definitely discount them too quickly. There's talent there, like a lot of talent.
I feel like I was saying that in the offseason. I agree with you. I'm worried about the quarterback and this new girl, but besides that,
Bachelor theory.
Yes.
It's not football. Yeah. It's the Bachelorette.
I was all in until Victoria Fuller showed up, but... The talent is there. There's no question about that. And I feel like there's a chance the Jags and Colts take a step back. Colts ushering in a new quarterback. Jaguars lost Calvin Ridley. Brian Thomas looks like a monster, but he's still a rookie. So I think there is room for the Titans to surprise people.
Titans!
Let me introduce you guys now to Graham Nicholson. He is the former kicker for Miami of Ohio. He now kicks for Alabama. That's a nice uptick. And Red Hawks head coach Chuck Martin recently said that the Tide illegally recruited Nicholson this spring. So Nick Saban responded Saturday in his new gig on ESPN.
The one thing I like to say is when I retired, there were people camped out in Tuscaloosa to get players to go in the portal. Right. So if they wanted to look at somebody tampering, they should have done a little investigation right there.
You'll be shocked to hear the current Bama head coach, Kalen DeBoer, said they only talked to Nicholson once he was in the portal.
Yeah, I mean, learned it from you, coach. Like, also, is Nick Saban going to just be answering for everything with Alabama? Probably from now to the end of time. I get that. But, I mean, is Saban really going to call someone else out? Like, they had to use there were recruiting wars between him and Georgia, between them and A&M.
And Jimbo.
Definitely. That's, come on. LSU, definitely.
Yeah, I don't know, though. I don't think Saban was a transfer portal wizard. I think that's one of the reasons he left.
I also don't think you need to be a wizard to get the Miami of Ohio kicker to Alabama.
Yeah, that's
like a very easy sell.
That was Kalen DeBoer's take. Like, dude, we're Alabama. They're Miami of Ohio. They're not even Miami of Florida. Yeah, they're not even Miami of Florida. Like, is this really a controversy?
We don't know which Miami they are. You're going to come to Alabama. Guys, you might have noticed it's time for tennis here in New York City. Even our good friend Pat Boyle is dressed like he has the second match on court one today. It's opening day of the U.S. Open. Four former champs are scheduled to play in Arthur Ashe Stadium today. Dominic Thiem and Coco Gauff during the day, Sloane Stephens and Novak Djokovic tonight. Djokovic has a great draw. Carlos Alcaraz, Yannick Sinner on the other side of the bracket. He made the Wimbledon final and won gold in Paris on a knee. That's had even more time to recover from surgery now. If he does pull this off over the next 2 weeks, it would be the 25th major of his career.
This has been such a fascinating year for Novak Djokovic. I mean, how he was able to, on the knee injury, win Olympic gold, as Bogus was talking about. And don't forget the tears. I mean, the outpouring of emotion to beat Alcaraz in that final and win the gold medal. I thought it was maybe more about beating Alcaraz than it was maybe about the gold. But regardless, it was unreal. And now he comes to the U.S. Open, a tournament that he's had so much success. I'm fascinated by this for Djokovic. I felt like in some ways these guys have been around for so long. Sometimes he gets stale and you want to see the new guys. But with Djokovic, I'm still 100% in on him. And then Coco Gauff, can she go back-to-back? I mean, what a darling, American, broke through last year at the U.S. Open. She's got all these cool commercials. I mean, she's a star. And if she wins back-to-back U.S. Opens, she is on a just jet engine to being one of our most famous athletes.
Well, this will prove my theory right or wrong. I said that Alcaraz didn't really care about the Olympics that much. And that's why he let Djokovic get that win. Maybe it's a strategic thing so he could keep dominating him in the majors. But you have to admit, the Olympics is different. Yeah. Like, after Wimbledon, I don't know if I could see Djokovic ever beating that guy again. For real. I'm 100% into that. To me, is the story of the thing, of the U.S. Open. But do we really have faith that he can beat him? I don't know. Because in tennis, right, Maggie, you play tennis. Once you have that mental edge over someone, and then, you know,
curtains.
Like, it was like Federer and Andy Roddick. Andy Roddick probably could have beaten him a number of times, but he just knew that mentally he was not going to be able to do it. So I am not as high on the Joker's chances.
Can I ask you one more question about this tournament? New York City crowds, right? They will tell you how they're feeling. They'll boo, they'll cheer. Everyone's really spirited and into it. I'm curious what they do for Sinner, the guy who had tested positive for a substance and then got acquitted from it. Does he get booed? I think is also a very interesting story to watch. Tennis fans are very hardcore. I think they're into that story also. So
yeah,
a couple
by
things
way,
to watch.
If you're going to do PEDs, I mean, you do some curls for the girls, Sinner. I mean, what the heck? How can you use something and be that skinny? It's embarrassing to me. As is one who said last week that he wanted to do PEDs in high school, looking back,
yes,
so he could just be
not
bigger.
Not the person to ask
for
here.
No reason other than so I didn't get beat up by Ernest Pendleton every Tuesday. All right. On that note, thank you, Mr. Bogus.
I could handle him.
Yeah. Oh, no. He was a star running back of our football team. He was tough. And he was tough on me. He just walked by me in the hall. Just be walking along. Hey, Ernest. punched me in the arm as hard as he could. I'm like, I'm going to the nurse. See you later, Ernest. That was my high school experience. Okay, coming up next, a guy who never got punched in the arm for being a nerd, Deion Sanders. We'll get into the latest with Prime Time next, Maggie and Perloff Show. All right, welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. I just referenced a story from my high school days. I got bullied early on in a very kind of not super crazy way. I think, honestly, like a normal high school bullying experience. And I know they're very serious bullying situations out there. I don't mean to make light of any of them. But the star running back on our high school football team used to punch me in the arm just for fun. He was a senior. He looked like a college running back. I think he was a scholarship player at East Carolina. I don't know if he made it. Maggie, someone doing research on Ernest Pendleton?
Multiple people. Now there's a deep dive into Ernest Pendleton is going on from our very own Andrew Kaplan. But just a little bit more from the chat, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet, where Spencer says, Perloff is a real-life walking, talking, rumpin' and stumpin' embodiment of Steve Urkel.
Yeah.
And then Delta said, I doubt they've invented the right kind of steroids yet that would keep Perloff from getting beat up by Ernest Pendleton.
No.
I don't even know if like that East German stuff would be good enough for you, Pearl. You were outmanned.
My first day of school, Maggie, for some reason, I was sitting there with my nerdy ninth grade friends, and a football player comes up to me and says, come with me. What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to say no? I don't know. So he brings me over to the other side of the cafeteria and puts me in front of the three biggest high school human beings I've ever seen in my life. Turned out it was the three stars of the football team, including, I'll just say names, Tom Keir must have been, he was 6'2", 320 probably, and mean. He turned out to be nice, but they made me take up their trays. And I remember I took up one of their trays, my entire hand went into like a pile of ketchup or something from Tater Tots, and I was walking around the rest of the day with ketchup. But I was like, I don't know if I can do this high school thing. I shouldn't say this about Ernest Pendleton. I see his son became a star football player, too. But Ernest was great. I mean, this guy ran for like 200 yards a game. It was a major college prospect. And he also just would punch me in the arm for no reason.
I imagine you weren't the only person getting punched in the
arm. No, pretty much.
Oh, all right. That was a you thing then.
No, you guys have your own special relationship. right. Is this inappropriate to talk about bullying? You shouldn't punch people in the arm, but at least he wasn't punching me in the stomach or something.
Well, I did that. But that's only because you asked me to do it.
I don't know. It's not going over so well. People are accusing you of bullying a little bit on the...
No, bullying is real. I think that the fact is that you don't feel like there was some deep trauma there. So you can talk about it. You sort of took it with a grain of salt. So maybe we can have a little fun with it now. But
it's a closer, like somewhat appropriate level of hazing. It was not a big deal. Like nobody was trying to hurt me, just to be clear. But this guy, Bogus, is out there making fun of me. He's like, you got beat up by a guy named Ernest. Like, what are you talking about? Like, I don't think like Ernest is immediately like I guess it's a nerd name, but.
Well, it's just those movies, you know, Ernest Goes to Camp, Ernest Goes to Jail. That guy probably didn't do much for the earned community.
But Rams linebacker Ernest Jones is in the news because he wants to trade. Nobody's calling that guy a nerd. That guy has to have a nerd bone in his entire body. He would destroy anybody out there.
Well, here's a question. Did you ever think about fighting back?
No. Not even for a second, Maggie. I was 6'2", 112 pounds. Unless I, there was no fighting back. I think about it, but then I did not.
When you got famous for being McLovin for the Dan Patrick Show, did you think, I hope Ernest Pendleton could see me now?
Not even for a second. I didn't even want my friends to see me on as McLovin on the Dan Patrick Show.
Aw, come on.
Yeah, I was McLovin. Whatever. I actually got them back. I put on 40 pounds of weight in college and still would have gotten killed by Ernest Pendleton, but that's not the point. All right, coming up next, quarterback issues in Big D. Next, Maggie Perloff.